Tony Sad Productions.
Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me.
For the crew, the only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
And when you go hard for the truth, you better watch your back for haters, cause they'll sneak right behind you and look like an actual neighbor. When you got your mind on right, it seems like every day's a doomsday. Last week I found out my enemies, my roommate, don't care about what you say. Put them phone on last Tuesday, riding all through the night like I never seen a new day. If you do it better, do it right. Don't be worried about what some fools say. Don't be worried about what some fools say. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard.
I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Saturday, Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath Day. Saturday, Shabbat Shalom. Saturday, March the 14th of 2015, and the time is 7 p.m. Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. As you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the Word of God, the Word of Yahuwah and His Son, Yahushua. So today, my brother, today, my sister, we have a very powerful message talking about a very powerful subject. Before we get started, as I mentioned pretty much on just about every show that I do, all of my shows come with a warning. This show is not for new believers. This is not a new believer show. This is a Hebrews 6:1 show. We know that in Hebrews it says, let us go on past the basic teachings of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let us go on to perfection. So today's message, tonight's message is no different. Tonight we're establishing a message that is going on to perfection. We're not laying again the basic teachings of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But tonight, my brothers and sisters, we want to talk about an esoteric topic that is so profound that it boggles the mind. Tonight's message should be entitled The Incomprehensible Plan of an Incomprehensible God. Tonight, my brothers and sisters, we are talking about the incomprehensible plan of an incomprehensible God. This is the incomprehensible plan of the Father of Light. This is the true divine plan for humanity. Now, there's a lot of debate. People love to debate. People talk about a lot of different things, and there's a time and there's a place for a debate. You guys know I don't really debate. I'm not a debater. I'm an educator. And so all of the information that I try to present has some science and it has some spirituality. You know my organization is the Eagles Club. Eagle stands for eagerly advancing godly living and economics, scripturally and scientifically. So I want to make sure that we are all on the same page before we go down tonight's message. And that page is simply a page that under over and understand that there is a plan. That the Father has a plan, although that plan is outside the scope of most people's mentality. This is the hidden esoteric divine plan of the true incomprehensible God. So it makes sense to me that if I serve or if I want to know, if I have a relationship, if I am seeking, if I am truly, honestly seeking the incomprehensible God, when I find it, that he may have an incomprehensible plan. It may be a little outside of what I, like it says in the book of Thomas, his plan may actually startle. It may actually be just a little shocking. His plan may also be a little disturbing. And then I may spend some time wondering, marveling, examining the plan. And then once I finally accept the plan, I'm going to have confidence and assurance. That's what we're talking about tonight, my brothers and sisters. We're talking about the plan of God. Now, the divine plan of God, brothers and sisters, is, again, I must warn you, because what I'm about to share with you is esoteric in nature, and it is what I call a cookie blower. It's one of those things that actually disturbs the mind. It's going to challenge your current belief system. Because this plan, my brothers and sisters, is a plan for the entire race of these ideals or these light beings that are trapped inside of dirt suits called humans. Now, we know that the word human is only mentioned in the Bible once, so the Father never refers to you as a human. So you're a son, you're a joint heir, you're a royal priest, you're a holy nation. So God has a plan for sons, for daughters, for royal priests. Now, if you're not a son, if you're not a daughter, if you're not a royal priest, then this message is not for you. And I understand why you won't understand it, because the Bible says that spiritual things can only be discerned by spiritual people. So if you're not a spiritual person, then you won't understand these spiritual things that we're about to discuss. And so tonight, brothers and sisters, again, this message comes out of one of my 10 books that is not available to the public. The title of this book, again, is The Metaphysics of Incomprehensibility. The Metaphysics of Incomprehensibility. The Father is incomprehensible. So his plan is incomprehensible. So what I'm going to share to you is going to be incomprehensible. You're going to struggle with it. You're going to wrestle with it. All I ask you to do is what I did. Now, if it took me 20 years to absorb this plan, it might take you a little time to absorb it, so be okay. It's okay. Let me establish something first off the bat. Yahushua makes 4 firstborn statements. This is God's plan. Now, brothers and sisters, this is otherworldly. The biblical God is in complete control of this biblical world. Now, in the book of Ephesians, it talks about that God works all things after the counsel of his will. He doesn't consult no reverend, no doctors, and no bishops. It would be great, but unfortunately, yeah, God don't, you know, the way God's saving plan is set up, it doesn't work like that. So Ephesians 1:11 says, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose, according to his purpose, not mine, not yours, not the devil's, not no one else. Now, brothers and sisters, if I just read Ephesians 1:11, that I could just use it, that one verse to establish my entire message, and then I could go into biology, and I could break down one principle that we talked about last night, and that is the true ether that controls the universe that's been manipulated. Now, we talked about the Luciferian ether. Then last night we talked about faith-based ether, which found in Hebrews 11:3, that frames. Now, a picture frame. Holds a picture in place. A picture frame holds the picture. The picture frame is not the picture. Big difference. So you're looking at the frame and you think the frame is the picture. It's the frame. It holds the picture. Let's look at the picture, not the frame. So Hebrews 11:1 tells me, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. So, first of all, we have obtained it. How did we obtain it? That's another study for another time. Just know that you obtained it. What did we obtain? We obtained an inheritance. Now, inheritance means that my father, I'm his genetic offspring, because it says I'm a son. It says I'm a daughter. It says I'm a royal priest. It says I'm a holy nation. It didn't say I was a human. Human means spiritual master. And again, that's inside of my book, I Am Too Human. Don't call yourself a human, because if you do, you lower yourself down to the cosmogratos frequency. Then he's your God. You use his world, his words, he controls your world. You give him access when you use his keys. The Father has keys. Now, the cosmogrator took away the keys of the kingdom. Now, I explained this in my other book, The Keys of the Kingdom. The Father says, you have taken away. He says, you can't enter into my kingdom. You prevent other people from entering into my kingdom. How? They took away the keys of the kingdom. Language. Since they took away the key, now, brothers and sisters, we think the key is actually letters or sound. But the key is the absence of the letters and the sound. Another study for another time. So we have this inheritance. And then it says, having been predestined. You ever look up that word, predestined? Predestination, it means predetermined. So you're telling me you determining your own life, right? That's what people tell me. No, brother, I got free will. Now, we're talking about the plan of God. I'm not talking about the plan of the little g. Now, the little g got a plan, and the big G got a plan. And all of the other lesser g's got a plan. Now, we're talking about the incomprehensible Father of light, from whom all gifts flow. That's what the scripture says. Now, if we understand, my brothers and sisters, there's many plans out there, but thankfully the Father, his plan is predetermined, predestined, predetermined, according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. He don't consult no man. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I don't know about you, but when somebody calls you, do you tell them to call you? Now, sometimes you could get a call, and it's an unexpected call. But usually when somebody calls you, they call you because they want to, not because you want them to. Let me say it again. God calls, not you. Now, I know we've been taught differently, but that's another study for another time. What about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. These are the variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Okay, there's a variety of frequencies. It's called the electromagnetic spectrum. There are frequency beings on this planet. They live on different. I was talking with my group earlier, and they was talking about the stones that are around certain cities, like in Washington, D.C., and we were talking about the frequency. We were talking about viceroys. A viceroy, again, is the ruling disposition for that city. Every city has a viceroy. That's the demon that controls that city. Now, every city in these united, that means they join together, states, that's mental dispositions, a.k.a. ruling dispositions, a.k.a. viceroys, a.k.a. demons. We got the United States is a bunch of united fallen angels who come together, and they got a plan. Now, these ruling dispositions are in opposition of the true disposition. And so if we don't understand what that means, then we don't really understand what is going on in a city like Washington, D.C. And the Washington, D.C., they have these guide stones placed all around Washington, D.C. Now, these boundary stones, these guide stones are physical. They just that's for show. That's to throw you off the scent. Because remember, Hebrews 11:3, all physical objects are made from non-visible objects. So while you're looking at the visible stones on Washington, D.C., the invisible stones is hanging out at your house manipulating your children because you're busy looking at the physical. As a metaphysician, I don't deal with physical. I don't deal with what Satan does. I deal with why he does it. So while you're talking about what somebody's stealing, I'm asking, why are they stealing? So don't look at the physical stones over Washington, D.C. Where's the ley lines of Washington, D.C.? It's not in the shape of a cube or a square. It's in the shape of an owl, Molech. Now, they understand because they play both sides of the fence. If the cube don't get you, Molech will. Now, that's the Cosmogrator's plan. He wants to trap light beings on the planet. Now, my Bible tells me that it is God's will that none should perish and that all should come into the knowledge of Christ. That's what my Bible says. Now, I don't put too much stock in what the Bible says. I put a lot of stock in what the Bible feels. In other words, the letter kills, but the Spirit, God the Spirit, those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So every time you read the Bible, you must read the Bible with spiritual understanding. If you don't, you're in trouble. Because if anyone desires to follow, I mean, Jesus said, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. This, what I'm about to share, this is the first time in about 4 or 5 years that I've been nervous before a show. This is the first time that I'm like sweating and perspiring. Because what I'm about to share with you again is inside of this 400-page book called The Metaphysics of Incomprehensibility, The Divine Plan of God. Jesus Christ, Yahushua, makes seven I am statements, but he makes four firstborn statements. He's the firstborn of all creation. He's the firstborn of the dead. He's the firstborn of every creature, and he's the firstborn of many brethren. Now, inside of this book, I break down what that means. Okay, I can stop there. That's God's divine plan. God's divine plan, okay. Now, if you are the firstborn, that means there's going to be others who follow after you. Now, God's true, hidden, esoteric, divine plan that no Reverend Dr. Bishop, well, I can't say no, a lot of Reverend Dr. Bishops don't know. Now, Lucifer doesn't want you to find this out. That's why you probably have a problem getting on the show. You probably may get kicked off this show. We may lose sound. Things may come up. Kids may be acting up. Your phone may go off. Dog may be going crazy. You're going to have some opposition to listen to the night show if you haven't had opposition just getting on tonight's show. Because God's divine plan is Yahushua is the firstborn of many brethren. Who the other brethren? Yahushua is the firstborn of all creatures. Who's the other creatures? Yahushua is the firstborn of the dead. Oh, I love that one. The firstborn of the dead. Who are the other dead? Yahushua is the firstborn of all creation. Who are the other creations? Now, this is the training ground for creators. That's God's plan. God's plan is you're on here to learn how to be like him. God has sons. Now, I don't know about you, brothers and sisters. I have two biological sons, and I have another stepson. Now, I want my sons to be like me. I don't want nobody else raising my sons. That's why when my sons were little, me and my ex at the time, my wife, we didn't put our children in daycare. We did not believe in having someone else important our belief systems to them. So I imported my belief system into my sons and my daughters. Guess what? There are many needs. Both of my daughters, you know, they're doing their own thing. My son is starting to do his own thing. They understand a lot of stuff I'm sharing. So the father is no different. The father wants you to be like him. You are his joint heir. You are a royal priest. You are a holy nation. So the true, again, biblical, universal, Psalms 135, verse 6. Psalms 135, verse 6. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the sea and in the deep. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. He doesn't ask people. He does what he pleases. See, when we understand God, we understand John 1:3. John 1:3 says, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. We know in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So according to the Bible, God caused the murder of his son. Let me say that again. You should be saying, hold up, brother, what did you say? So question, does God cause people to sin? Did God cause the murder of his son? Did God cause Pharaoh to not let his people go? I remember the story. Pharaoh was like, man, I had enough of this. I'm going to let God's people go. Then his next verse, God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Isaiah said that, you know, God create good and he creates evil. I do these things. That's what it says. God's create good and evil. Acts 4:27. For truly in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant, Yahushua, or Jesus. whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. So, Jesus, the holy servant, who God appointed, he also appointed Herod and Pontius Pilate. He also appointed, along with the Gentiles, he also appointed the people of Israel. That's what it says in Acts 4:27. Acts 4:28. Acts 4:28. Again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. So you got free will, right? You can do whatever the hell you want. That's what people tell me. Really? Okay, let's read a little further. So God calls the Israelites to do certain things. You say, well, what do you mean? Isaiah 63:17. Why, O Lord, do you cause us to stray from your ways and harden our hearts from fearing you? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage. Isaiah 63:17. Now, I can go on and on and on all through the Bible where God does certain things that appear to us as evil. But does God make and do evil? Absolutely not. We say, brother, come on, man, that's a contradiction. You just said he did, now you're saying he didn't. Do you know that we as spiritual beings trapped in dirt suits, we have laws that we have to obey. These are certain laws that are universal. The only reason that we are obligated to obey these rules or these laws is because God has commanded us to. Now, let me ask the question. There is no rule that is binding upon you that is also binding upon God. What does that mean? Let me make sure that we're on the same page. Now, God is outside of space. He's outside of time. God does not limit himself by space or by time. And so if we understand all matter, because God is spirit. And so what applies to you may or may not necessarily apply to God. Because do you know what rules God has designed to apply to himself? You see, a rule that binds you does not necessarily mean or does not imply that that same rule binds God. Because God is the ether. He's the authority figure. He's the frame that holds the rules or the picture. He's not the picture. See, we put God in the same box we in. See, we are in a box. That don't mean God is in that box. Let me make sure that we're on the same page. God is a frame that you are inside. He holds you in that frame. Doesn't mean that he is inside of that frame. Now, he may or he may not be. Now, in other words, even if we were to agree that it would be wrong for me to cause you to sin, that does not mean that it is wrong for God to cause you to sin. Let me say that again. I go out and I manipulate you, I con you, and I make you do something wrong, and I cause you to sin. So God does something, and he manipulates you, and he causes you to sin. Is that wrong? We will say, yes, that's wrong. Really? Based upon what? What are the rules that God has established for himself? Now, if I come up with the rules of a game and you decide to play my game and you don't know the rules for myself, but I gave you rules, but I never told you what the rules that I am limited by, you will automatically assume that whatever rule I establish for you, I'm going to abide by that rule. No, I'm the referee. You ever go to a football game? Does the umpire in the football game go by the same rules as the football players? What about a basketball game? Any sport, the umpire, he oversees the game. He ain't in the game. Let's make sure we're on the same page. You see, God, brothers and sisters, you look at God the way you look at me, and you put God in the box that you live in, and you wonder why God violated the box. And you say, well, God, it can't be God. Look at what he's doing. He's doing the same thing that I'm doing. Really? The umpires on the football field, they walk around. They got on these different uniforms. They ain't got on no pads. I noticed the umpire never get hit. Every once in a while, a player may bump into him, and if the player does it intentionally, the umpire throws a flag, 15-yard penalty, And if it's really bad, he's kicked out of the game. So the umpires, they oversee the game. They don't play it. God oversees the game. He ain't playing it. So you think God is limited by your pebble brain. Now, I'm talking about myself. Obviously, your brain is bigger than a pebble. But me, you know, my brain is pebble size. And so when we start to see that, okay, let me readjust my perspective. Let me go up to God instead of trying to bring God down to me. The Bible says God's thoughts are not like our ways. His ways, his thoughts are not like our thoughts. His ways are not like our ways. He's high, way above us. You say, brothers and sisters, sin is disobedience to the law. Iniquity, sin is really a Greek word, hamenteno, that means living without the law. Iniquity is living above the law. 1 John 3:4 says it this way, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Sin means living without your share, without your lot, without your inheritance. God says, remember what we read when we started off, Ephesians 1:11, I gave you inheritance. Sin is, God, I don't want your inheritance. I want the world's inheritance. Let me say that again. Friendship with this world makes you an enemy of God. Now, you have a spiritual inheritance that's not visible, but you love visible things. So you trade your invisible inheritance for a visible inheritance. That will get you excommunicated. God's will. Now, I got to go ahead and, you know, all of the people that were not supposed to be here, they probably disconnected off the call already. So let's go ahead and get serious. Brothers and sisters, what's God's will? God's will that none should perish and all should come into the knowledge of Christ. Now, you've been taught that if you do A, B, and C, you are kicked out of the kingdom. Really? Let me make sure you want to say, pay. God's will, God said it's my will that none should perish and that all should come into the knowledge of Christ. God says, I want to do four things. And Yahushua is number one, he's the firstborn. He's the first one in a series. Now, you can look it up in the Greek like I did. Look up the definition of the word firstborn. It means the first to come out of many to follow. Who's the many to follow? That would be you. Now, I know this is contrary to your theology, so you might want to pick up a copy of the book. Because in the book, I break this down with some serious esoteric knowledge and some scriptures and some science. So Yahushua is the firstborn of many brothers. That's what he says. Now, what I said, that's what he says. And you say, well, Brother Will, what does that mean? Brothers and sisters, I cannot even contain my excitement. Because for years I wanted to do this show, but I couldn't really do the show to explain God. Everything that I'm doing in 2015, I was afraid to do. Because when you know this knowledge, you are a threat to the establishment. And people who know what I know have accidents. I tell you guys this all the time. I always talk about William Cooper. Bill Cooper, who got shot in the back, standing in front of his wife and children, talking about exactly what I'm talking about. He wrote it down in a book called Behold the Pale Horse. You want to blow your cookies? Read that book, Behold the Pale Horse. Now, you can go to Google and type in William Cooper, Bill Cooper. Go to YouTube. Listen to some of the videos. You will find that what I'm saying, for the last 5 years, 50 books, 2,000 audio shows, the same thing. He ain't on the planet no more, along with a lot of other people. Why? Did you really think the powers that be, they got to keep you in fear? So everybody that I know, they got saved because of fear. All religions teach fear. I can't find nowhere in the scripture where Yahushua teaches fear. Now, he said that the fear of God is the beginning of understanding. So as I talked about today, hate powers creation. Love powers service. So you use hate to create. You use love to serve. Now, Jesus says, if anyone desires to follow me, let him deny himself, number one, take up his cross, number two, follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life on account of me will find it. For what is a man, so what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his whole soul? File that away in your back pocket. We're going to come back to later. Matthew 16:24, file that away. John 12:25, Yahushua. These are all statements Yahushua said, not Matthew, not Mark, not Luke, not John, not Paul. How in the blank Paul got more books in the Bible than Yahushua. How is that possible? I don't know. Now, what I do know, somebody's lying to you, and you buying it. I'm not buying it. Yahushua says in John 12:25, now again, incomprehensible God has an incomprehensible plan. Now, this is a cookie blower. Yahushua says, he who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for life eternal. Anyone who serves me follows me. And where I am, there will my servant be. You want to go where Yahushua is at? You got to go with his plan, not the Reverend Dr. Bishop's plan. Matthew 19:21. Go, sell all of your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Okay, I still haven't seen nowhere where he says worship me yet. I'm trying to find that. Because everybody I know worships Yahushua. I don't know too many people who follow him. You know, it's easier to worship him than it is to follow him. Yeah, you don't get no adversity for worshiping him. People encourage you to worship him. Worship him. How many people tell you to sell your stuff and follow him? How many people tell you to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him? Yeah, you don't see that preached very often. Luke 9:3. Take nothing for your journey. Hold up. I at least need a backpack. You know, I got to take my Jordans. I paid $300 for these. What about my caddy? I can't leave my caddy. Come on, are you serious? I just saw what Creflo Dollar is looking for, $3,000 or $2,000 or how many people to give him $300 a month so he can buy a $65 or $40 million jet. You know, he needs a jet to, you know, do the will of God. You need a jet in order to follow Yahushua. Luke 9:3 says, take nothing for your journey, neither staffs, nor purse, nor bread, nor money. Oh, yeah, we got a problem. I want to follow you, but I need my purse, I need my bread, and I ain't going nowhere without my money. You need a little bit more? Okay, let's check up. Let's go to one of the non-canonized books. See, I like these books, the Apocrypha of James. In the Apocrypha of James, Yahushua says, verily, verily, I say unto you, none will be saved unless they believe in my cross. But those who have believed in my cross, theirs is the kingdom of God. Therefore, become seekers for death. Okay, I got a problem. Let me read it again. Therefore, become seekers for death, like the death who seek for life. I'm going to explain it in just a second. For what which thou seek is revealed to thee, and what is there to trouble thee? So, Yahushua is saying, well, you know what, I can't tell you yet. And then it continues in the Apocrypha of John. It says, as for you, when you examine death, it will teach you election. Verily, verily, I say unto you, none of those who fear death will be saved. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who put themselves to death. Become better than I. Make yourselves like the Son of the Holy Spirit. That's found in the Apocrypha of John in the Nahamadi text. James 4:4. Let's continue. James 4:4. Do you know that friendship with this world is enmity? That means it creates division with God. Whoever wants to be a friend of this world has made himself an enemy of God. I know a lot of people who are enemies of God. Why? They are living their best life now. No disrespect to the author. What about Matthew 19:29? And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for the name's sake, or for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold an inheritance in eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15:5. And Jesus said to those in Corinth, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor will corruption inherit incorruption. And it goes on, Matthew 7:24, Matthew 10:34, Luke 9:12. What's another one? Matthew 10:36. And there's other scriptures that explain the true plan of God. Okay, what is it? Number one, as I said earlier, This is a training ground for sons of God. God wants you to learn how to be a creator, a co-creator. What does that mean? That means that I talked about on yesterday's show. In heaven, everything happens instantly. Without Lucifer, everything happens instantly. Lucifer is congealed light. That's why you have blood in your body. Blood is congealed light. So congealed light, again, is slow down Yahushua. So inside of my book, again, we talked about this, and I have this inside of my book that we mentioned yesterday. It's called Lumiferous Ether. And I talked about this yesterday. That means everything on earth travels through a haze, and it slows it down. That's what it talked about in the book of Daniel. When Daniel prayed, and the angel Michael told him, yeah, I was battling the prince of Persia. That's ether. That's the atmosphere. That's dark matter. That's space. That's time. That's matter. Those are all Luciferian constructs. So the archangel Michael said, yeah, I was battling the prince of the air or the prince of Persia. He withheld me or withstood me 21 days. So the ether that we live in slows down light. Now, we know that science tells us the same thing. The atmosphere, it reflects some of the sun rays. It reflects the harmful, they tell us it's harmful, rays from the sun, and it let the good rays of the sun through. That's Luciferian. Because out in space, light travels instantly. What does that mean? That means whatever you do with a molecule in one spot, and you do the same thing, or you separate the molecule, the same thing happens in another spot instantly. It could be separated by billions of years, and it happens instantly. So if you have a thought, it manifests instantly. So the Father knows that you don't know how to manifest. So he's like, okay, the enemy used this separation for evil. I'm going to use it for good. So God's divine plan is this. I'm going to create sons, and I'm going to create daughters, sons of God. Now, the scripture says it this way. All of creation groans because they're waiting for the sons of God to manifest. In other words, you are in biblical or you are in spiritual elementary school, and all of the angelic hosts are waiting on you to graduate, and you keep bumping your head up against the spiritual brick wall, and they're saying all of creation, so all of the flowers, all of the animals, all of creation groans. That means that they're like, oh, man, here goes this irresponsible creator. It's like you are an irresponsible superhero, like that movie with Will Smith. He was a drunken superhero. He was flying around tearing up stuff. He was an irresponsible creator. That's what it says in, Romans 8:19, for the creation waits eagerly, waits with eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. That's what's going on. What's the will of God? God is God's will that none should perish and all should come into the knowledge. What does that mean? That means that God wants you to be a responsible creator. What does that mean? Romans 8:18. Let's go back one. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Romans 8:19, for the ancient longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons. That means, now again, there is no gender in heaven. So the sons of God, verse 20, Romans 8:20, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. So all of the animals and the angels have been dumbed down. They didn't want to be dumbed down. It says they didn't do this willingly. But because of him who subjected them to them, that him would be the Father. The Father said that, y'all are doing my will. This is my game. I'm the umpire. I make the rules. So you are creation. I'm creator. So the Bible says it this way. Does the clay have the right to say to the potter, make me dust? No, it doesn't. So Romans 8:20 says, for creation was subject to fertility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hopes. That's a plan. in hopes that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into freedom of the glory of the children of God. So all of creation is waiting on you, brother, and waiting on you, sister, because you're going to free them. So if you're not free yourself, you can't free anybody else. So all of creation is waiting for you to understand you are a child of the King. But, yeah, we don't understand that yet, so we're still in spiritual elementary school. So Romans 8:21 again says that all of creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into freedom of the glory of the children of God. So all of creation is waiting on us. And then Romans 8:22, for we know, we don't hope, we don't wish, we don't dream, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. So everybody, this earth is in childbirth because you are in training, because you don't understand your spiritual powers, me included. Romans 8:22 again says that ourselves, that all of this is waiting. Now, 8:23, and now only this, I'm sorry, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So we are waiting, too, to be adopted as sons. Because once we're adopted, then we get redeemed. We get the redemption of the body. So what is the plan of God? The plan of God is God wants to adopt you. He wants to make you his son. He wants to make you his daughter so that way you can be like him. And you will be a co-creator with the creator. And verse 24, Romans 8:24 says, for in hope we have been saved. How did you get saved, brother? How did you get saved, sister? For in hope we have been. Past tense, we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? So what you hoping for is incomprehensible. What does that mean? Brothers and sisters, what this scriptures is saying, and all of these scriptures are saying, and thank you so much, sister, for telling me that the name of that movie was called Hancock, where Bruce, I keep saying Bruce, Will Smith was playing a, you know, superhero, and he was drunken, and he had all his superpowers, and he didn't know what to do with them. That's you. So you are a superhero. You are a little G. Now, you are the micro of a macro. So as a micro of the macro, you are a little G, and God wants you to grow up to be a big G. But in order for you to grow up, you got to understand the four firstborn statements, because that's what you are. You are the firstborn of all creation. They're coming after you. Once you learn how to create, you're going to create. And then it says, you are the firstborn of all death. Once you learn how to die, you're going to create other people that know how to die. I'm going to come back to that one. It'll blow your cookies. Then it says, you are the firstborn of every creature. So you're going to create other creatures. But again, that's another study for another time. But you are the firstborn of many brethren. Now, all of these are attributes of Yahushua. And Yahushua is our elder brother, contrary to popular belief. He is the elder brother. Now, he got other titles, but that's one of his many, 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 many titles. And then it goes on, and it says some other profound stuff in the book of Romans. But, again, you can get all of this inside of my book where I break this down a little further. The title of the book, again, The Metaphysics of the Incomprehensibility. An incomprehensible God has incomprehensible plans. And it's hard for us to wrap our brain around this plan because we've been told they use fear to create division. They tell you some people are going to make it, some people ain't going to make it. They say, oh, this, they say that. They make up all of this stuff to get you to jump through hoops. So we are all hoop jumpers. So I'm a retired hoop jumper because I read the script. And the script taught me that I didn't have to jump through any hoops no more. So when we understand what that means, brothers and sisters, then we're able to go on to the Father of Lights. And I do apologize if y'all guys pick up that background noise. The family just came home, so please bear with me. It's really really important that we understand that the Father of Lights uses atomic structures that's part of this physical universe, again, to allow you to play. This is your playground. So you create stuff, and sometimes you create bad stuff. But in the spiritual realm, once you create it, spiritual things are eternal. They're not like mass or matter. So once you create in the spiritual realm, it's there permanently. So the Father knows that. So he just can't allow you to go around being a irresponsible creator. You got to learn how your thoughts create things. So you're down here to learn. Count it all joy when you fall, not if you fall. Because once you understand that, because let me ask you a question. Why does he still fault you for resisting his will, if you resist his will? What does that mean? So we know that, again, everyone who practices sin, that's considered lawlessness. That's considered sin. We also know that Scripture says that, that sin cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So when we look at the circumstances in which the biblical God, the true God, says things about sin, what does that mean? Hebrews 4:15 says, For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we, yet without sin. So we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. Now we know when Paul asked the Father to remove the thorn out of his flesh, he asked him three times. Every time the Father told him, my grace is sufficient for you. So it's not like he didn't know that he had that thorn that was a messenger of Satan. He knew. So God understands this, brothers and sisters. God knows this. Romans 9:20. Romans chapter 9, verse 20. On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will say to the molder, why did you make me like this? Will it? Now, this is a New Living Translation. Or does the potter have the right over the clay to make from the same lump of clay one vessel of honor and one vessel of dishonor? So we see this verse where God works after the counsel of his own will. Now, that is part of God's divine plan. If you don't understand that, what I'm getting ready to share with you right now won't make any sense. Now, I read all of those scriptures that Yahushua said. Now, I read all of those scriptures on purpose because God's divine plan, he has a long-term plan. Now, this is the big picture, his long-term plan. Now, you cannot, my brothers and sisters, grasp God's long-term plan unless you have an understanding of a long-time God. So if you don't understand God, then you won't understand his plan. It's just like going to a business, and if you don't understand the CEO of the business, you won't understand the mission of the CEO. And so we must understand that the design of the gospel is called the good news. So when we look at the plan, the grand plan of his design, this is the true gospel. This is the true gospel. And when we look at that, we see that Yahushua was born because what? Yahushua was born, he came into this dimension because he had a plan. That was limited knowledge on this dimension. Now, excuse me, this is called the gospel. The gospel is good spell. Now, there's a bad spell on the planet. Now, to cast a spell, one must spell. So since the bad plan used spelling, the good plan, God says, okay, I'm going to use what the devil meant for evil. I'm going to use it for good. So God decides, now again, this is powerful. The Greek word for this plan is called cosmos. Now, the word cosmos, as we know, means harmonious arrangement. That's what John 3:16 when it talks about the word world. So God loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth shall not perish. That's what the Bible says. So Yahushua commands us, or God commands us. He tells us his divine plan. He don't want nobody to perish. But yet people are perishing every day. That's what they tell us, right? So if it's his will that you don't perish, why are you perishing? Because they tell us that people perish, and if you perish outside of the knowledge of Christ, that's it. It's a wrap for you. Punch your ticket. Is that not what they say? That's what we all been taught. Now, once you understand this plan, it's going to blow your cookies because you got to ask, what is the plan? Now, I just told you the plan. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell you it again. And when I read it over, you will see the same thing I saw. The Bible says, many will come to me in that last day and say, Lord, Lord, we believe. And I will say, depart from me. I never knew you. So without an excuse, the church are, again, a lot of people, myself included, we do a terrible disservice to people by limiting your knowledge of Yahushua's work and God's plan. Yahushua commands us to seek the truth, not a truth. Yahushua identifies himself as being that truth. Yahushua then commands you to keep that truth. Yahushua is God's living truth. We know that Yahushua, in him, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. So clearly there's a plethora of scriptures that explain that Yahushua is the way, he is the truth, he is the light. Yahushua says that he loves you. Yahushua wants to assist you in becoming a light being. And so when we look at this, what is happening is many people wrongly ignore the simplicity that Yahushua is the truth. He is not a truth. So this comes down to what I talk about, which is the twin flames. Now, inside of my book, the twin flames or the twin Christ. Now, I'm just about done, so please hang on. So what they did was they know that his divine plan consists of an everlasting living word, not a dead word written. So we have dead words written by dead men from a dead God. That's what it says in the Essene Gospel of Peace. But that's not a canonized book. So you haven't read that, or you don't have access to that, or you don't know that. So if we serve if we got dead words and we use those dead words, we create a dead world. Okay, we got that. Now let's move on. Since, my brothers and sisters, we understand that his divine plan never changes. His design plan. See, there are these Christian apologetics. They place a lot of emphasis on the written word, and they should. But they should place more emphasis on the source of the written word. Big difference. There's nothing wrong with having a Bible. But do we have a relationship with the source of the Bible? Big difference. Now, do you keep the Bible, or do you keep the source of the Bible? See, I have a relationship with the source of the Bible, not a relationship with the Bible. See, if you understand the source of the Bible, then the book, you see that it is ineffective. It is limiting because it's been, it requires certain interpretations that everybody interprets differently. So it actually limits and it prevents you from receiving insights given by the Holy Spirit or the Ruach, because you're putting your emphasis in the book instead of the soul or the author or the giver of the book. Not King James, he's not the author. They just compile sayings. How about we talk to the person who made the sayings? That's what I do. So I got the book, I read it, got a lot of the book memorized. After that, I put it down, I went to the source of the book. And my life changed. I had a paradigm shift. Now, the source of the book tells us how to know God. The source of the book, not the book. The book tells us about God. The source of the book, God explains himself. He reveals himself to you when you seek him. That's called the Holy Spirit. Now, there is no teacher, there is no reverend, doctor, bishop, nobody on the planet that can assist you with having a personal, private, productive relationship with the source of the book. So that's between you and the source. That means you got to ask the source to reveal himself to you. Now, that, my brothers and sisters, I've talked about this on many, many shows, that's where what I call mental telepathy comes in. Because the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. When you talk, you vibrate. That's a Luciferian system. Now, God has chosen to use the foolishness of preaching to save those who are lost. So God says, okay, this system is foolishness, but I'm going to go ahead and use it anyway. Now, the word preaching means utterance. It means speech. He's using the foolishness of preaching to save those who are lost. Now, you say, how is he going to do that? Well, the way that you find it, as I mentioned earlier, and again, this goes a whole lot deeper, God's cosmos is based upon the 12 zodiac signs, which are not zodiac signs, it's the 12 tribes of Israel, which are the 12 disciples. And they reveal the 12 natures of this age or this eon. That is what I call God's cosmos. Now, God has four natures that it talks about: the natural nature, the emotional nature, the intellectual nature, and the spiritual nature. Those are considered the four minds of God. Now, there's a fifth nature, but again, I have all of that inside of the book. Jacob had 12 sons. Okay, the 12 tribes represents the 12 ages. That represents one cycle. That's what we call a sine wave, S-I-N-E. That gets into under, over, and understand cyclical nature of God. That's God's plan. God uses sine waves to bring about his plan. He has a cycle. It's cyclical. And so he uses this, and he uses the hours, the 12 hours, the 12 months, the 12 disciples, the 12 zodiac. He uses that law of 12, if you want to use that term. Now, when we look at God's cosmos, again, cosmos means harmonious arrangement. There is a certain order. It is a sine wave curve. Now, God, again, is against sin or against sine, S-I-N-E. A sine wave is cyclical. It goes up and goes down. It goes up and it goes down. But if you notice, there's a line that goes right through the middle of it. God wants you to walk down that line, that straight and narrow, but we don't. We go up and down. We go up and down. Why? We live in an environment. Now, the plan of God is to get you to be straight and narrow. God does not want you to live on what is called a sine wave curve or a sin wave curve. But sine is vibration. Everything in the universe vibrates on a sin wave, on a sine wave. Now, once you understand that, then the last piece of the puzzle makes sense. What is the last piece of the puzzle? The last piece of the puzzle, if we go back again to what I mentioned earlier. And what I mentioned earlier, brothers and sisters, is a simple understanding that if you want to find your life, you have to lose it. Now, this is God's plan, because look at what Yahushua did. Now, when Yahushua came into this world, you know, he left at the age of 33. So let's go back, and I won't read all of the scriptures, but let's just read a few of them that I started off with. God knows that friendship with this world makes you his enemy. Now, I am not advocating, nor am I saying that God wants you to punch your ticket. That is not what I'm saying. Remember, the book is a spiritual book. So everything that I'm saying is spiritual in nature. I don't do physical stuff. I don't do what, I do why. So let's answer the question, why? Why does God not want you to be friends with this world? Because this world is cyclical. This world is seasonal. That's why we have four seasons. How many seasons are there in heaven? God is the eternal now. Now, the Bible says that the Father of lights, in whom there is no shifting or variance, he's the Father. It says all good gifts comes down from the Father of lights, where there is no shifting and no variance. God wants you to stop vacillating. He wants you to stop going up and down, left, right. We live in a world of duality. Yeah, that doesn't exist. There is, now remember, there is no master. There is no matter where Yahushua, where God is. He's in the upward expanses of the north. Yahushua says, I am from above, you are from below. You ever look up the definition of the word above? I triple dare you to look it up in the Greek, the word above. That's where Yahushua said he was from. So what is God's plan? God's plan is for you to get off this rock and return home. That's his plan. How do you get off this rock? Okay, Yahushua said it a plethora of times. Let's just look at a few of the times that Yahushua told you how to get off the rock. Now remember, Romans 5:3 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, patience, and so on and so forth. Say the same thing in James. That's God's plan. God's plan, Romans 7:24. Oh, what a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Okay, God's plan. I gotta rescue the body because it's subject to death. Yahushua came and he did that. Now our body has been redeemed. We don't know what we shall be, but we know we shall be like him at the resurrection. There's neither marrying or giving in marriage. We're going to be like him. Romans 5:3. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Romans 8:15. The spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. What's God's plan? Don't live in fear. Everybody I know, a lot of people I know, they do everything based up on fear and not faith. Romans 8:15 continues. Rather, the spirit you received brought you through adoption to sonship. Brothers and sisters, God's divine plan, a part of it. I can't reveal all of it, but this is the major, this is the most important part of it. Become a seeker of death. That's God's plan. You say, whoa, 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 hold up, brother, hold up, time out, time out. You lost me on that one. I was with you till you said that. Now, I read all the scriptures at the beginning of the show. Let's go back. Matthew 16:24. Jesus said, now I'm not talking about Paul. I'm not talking about Matthew. I'm not talking about Mark. I'm not talking about Luke. I follow Yahushua. There's a lot of Paul followers. There's a lot of Matthew followers. There's a lot of Luke followers. But how about the red letter gospel? You ever get one of those old Bibles with the red letters, what Yahushua said. You do know that there are books, there is the gospel of Yahushua, what Yahushua actually said. How come that's not canonized? Why isn't Yahushua's words in the book? Interesting. Because what Yahushua said, he said this: if anyone desires to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. So you want to save your life? Lose it. That's God's divine plan. God's divine plan is this. This is a training ground. You are pilgrims passing through. Friendship with this world makes you an enemy of God. God wants you to hate this world. Now, that's tough because there's a lot of, everybody tell me, but brother, there's a lot of good in this world. Compared to what? Since you don't remember what your prior existence with the Father was, because to get down there, you had to drink from the sea of forgetfulness. That's in the book of Creations, by the way. Another study for another time. But what about John 12? Oh, wow. We got a problem with John 12. John 12 says, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for life eternal. If you want an eternal life, God says you got to hate this world, you got to hate this life, you got to want to exit this world spiritually speaking. Now, the physical exit is just a transition. There's no such thing as death. You just transition from one electromagnetic spectrum to another one. That's another study for another time. Notice what Yahushua says, though. Yahushua says, go and sell all of your possessions, give to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven, come follow me. What did Yahushua say? He said, I came into this world. Well, what did Yahushua say? For this purpose was I born. What? To die. What purpose were you born? To die. To die what? To die to your flesh and to live for your spirit. The Bible says, walk in the spirit, and you cannot, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So as long as you are in this flesh body, you are separated from your spiritual God. Let me say that again. As long as you are in a flesh body, you are separated from a spiritual God. Let me say that one more time. As long as you are in a flesh body, you are separated from a spiritual God, because who made your flesh? Why does your flesh war against your spirit and your spirit war against your flesh? And they're two are contrary to one another. Why is that? I'm just wondering. Anybody know? Oh, teacher, I know. Because your flesh, again, attaches you to this world. The life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus 17:11. The life of the spirit is in the breath, Genesis 2:3-2, I think it is. So as long as you got blood, because blood slows down life. Blood is congealed light. We got to speed it up. That means we got to get rid of Flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we've got to get rid of flesh, we've got to get rid of blood. But you want to enter into the kingdom of God, but you want to keep your flesh and your blood. Houston, we have a problem. Because the Father says, my plan, no flesh, no blood enter into my kingdom. But you say, hold up, God, you don't understand. My mother's here, my brother's here, you know, I just my kids, I got a new car, God. I mean, come on, you know. I just won the lottery. I got $1 million. And you want me to just, you know, give all of this up for you? Okay, what did Yahushua say? Yahushua says, and again, I'm closing. But Yahushua says, again, we're talking about the true divine plan, right? Everybody wants to go to the kingdom. Everybody wants to be a believer. Everybody wants to go to the kingdom of God. Yahushua says, you want to go? You want to be one of my disciples? Okay, yeah. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow me. How do we do that? Anyone who has left his house, left his brothers, left his sisters, left his father, left his mother, left his wife, left his children, left his land, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold an inheritance in eternal life. But everybody I know, they want eternal life, but they're not willing to leave none of those things I just talked about in Matthew 19:29. Houston, we have a problem. Flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God, but I don't see nobody signing up for death. Let me be crystal clear. What is death? Death is spiritual. What does that mean? Death means you hate your life. I know a lot of people, man, and they are having the time of their life. They ain't interested in leaving. They're trying to extend. Every Luciferian I know trying to extend their life on earth. All of the one percenters, they are trying to figure out a way to marry technology to keep their flesh and bones alive. Look at the Egyptians. Them fools died. Well, let me be some Egyptians listening to the show. Let me see. Your forefathers, they mummified. They took out their organs. They mummified. They put stuff in their tomb so that way they could cross over and navigate the spiritual world. Why? They did not want to leave. They know you cannot take flesh and blood into the kingdom of God, but they said, you know what? We're going to figure out a way to do it. What was the movie Lucy about? How to live eternal life on this planet. The Father says, where I'm going, there are many mansions. I have a place for you. I have prepared a place for you. There are many mansions. But we're like, well, you know what? I want to go, Father, but I want to take my car, my house, you know, I got a couple of things. He says, go sell all your possessions, give to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven, come follow me. Okay, now remember the story of the rich man. The rich man says, okay, have you kept my commandments? Yeah, Father, I kept all your commandments since I was a youth. Have you done this? Yeah, I did that, I did this, I did that. Yahushua says, great, take all that you have, sell it, and you can be my disciple. They said the rich man walked away exceedingly sorry because he had great riches. That's why it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. Rich men can't go. They got too much stuff. You can't take that stuff with you. And you don't want to leave it. And so you want to figure out a way to stay here. And so you're focusing all of your time on staying here. I'm focusing on how to leave here. Now, when I say leave here, what does that mean? That means I want to walk in the spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I spend every day reading and studying to try to walk in the spirit so that way I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. I'm not even close. But that's my desire. That's my intention. So in closing, inside of this 500-page book, again, everybody that's a part of my advanced, or use that term for lack of a better word, club, you will have access to this book and all of the other 10 books. Each book is about, wow, the first book is 600 pages. Most of the books are between 400-600 pages. These 10 books are all cookie blowers. We talked about the ontological history of mankind. We talked about, again, the Luciferian ether. We talked about, I think we talked about the Draco or the Draconians. We talked about the homunculus. We talked about the faith-based ether. We talked about the twin Christ. We talked about salvation through light or knowledge, salvation through Christ or life. We talked about sound and symbols. Again, all of these, I'm just going through some of my notes. But this book, The Metaphysics of Incomprehensibility, the subtitle is The True Divine Plan of God. What is God's divine plan? He creating sons. How do he create sons? He training them. How does he train them? He sends you on this earth. You go through adversity. You learn how to control your thoughts. Once you learn how, see, I'm an instant gratification dude. That's why it took me so long to get to this point to share the message and to understand. You can't do instant gratification because the enemy a trick. You can't live in your flesh and be a spiritual person because that means that you're going to create fleshly stuff. So God says, okay, I got to teach you how to control delayed gratification. So if you get a dollar, you don't spend it today. Save it. Ooh, yeah, I got a problem. See, I spend my money before I get it. The Father is trying to teach me to, okay, get the money, save it. What do you mean save it? Save it for what? I'm going to spend it now. No, that's not how the universe works, son. Universe works like this. You already have everything that you need for life and godliness, past tense. So you don't have to go get anything. You are it. So anytime you think you need something, that's an indication of lack. That is poverty. That's Luciferian. So I tell everybody, what and how does God pray? That's God's plan. God's plan is for you to get to a place where you pray like him. So I'm going to ask the question again. How does God pray? What does God ask for when he prays? How does God communicate? Now, you are God's offspring. You are a little G. God wants you to grow up to be like him. Now, Yahushua is the firstborn of all creation. He's the firstborn, again, of all of the dead. Oh, there we go. So you got to die. Houston, we have a problem. The true divine plan of God is to get you. You know what's interesting? This is a true story. Vietnam. Life expectancy of what they call a point man. And I was in the Marine Corps. Life expectancy, Vietnam, you hit the ground, you're the point man. That means you're the guy out front. You charging. Life expectancy, Vietnam was less than a minute, except for the people who wanted to die. Every person, now, true story, you go to Google, every person that has it's like a person that has a death wish, nothing happens to them. But a person who's afraid, you attract what you fear. So everybody in Vietnam, they hit the ground. They was afraid because they had the picture of their wife on, you know, underneath their stopwatch or this, that, and other. They hit the ground, they go out running. They was dead 30 seconds. But all of these guys who didn't have no family, they didn't care. They was tatted up. They was from Chicago or from the hood, and they had a death wish because life home was worse. They was willing to die. They didn't give a rip because where they came from was blank. So Vietnam was an upgrade. They hit the ground, they was mowing, they was walking through people like there was no tomorrow. Did three tours, came back. It's a mind-blowing. So God knows this. God wants you to have a death wish. He wants you to live your life that way. What does that mean? When I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I fear no evil. Why? Evil is fear. Fear is opposite of God. So God's divine plan is you stay here until all the fear in you is gone. Now, I came from an environment where everything I'm doing now is a huge upgrade. So this message it was easy for me to find and grasp because I've always lived my life with a death wish. I always really, seriously wanted to die because I didn't fit in the world system. And so God said, come here, son. Because I took risk after risk after risk and nothing happened to me. I remember working my first day on the job in a Supermax prison. And, you know, I was in there with, you know, all of these Aryan Nation brothers and all of these dudes from the Mexican Mafia. And I was African-American, and they laughed when they put me in there. And they said, oh, hold up. What you doing here? I said, well, I'm not for real. I'm the CO, you know, I'm a correctional officer. I run this block. Now, I'm in a cell locked in with 90 men, three tiers, 30 men on each tier, and I got a radio and a set of keys. That's it. But I didn't have no fear. None. I had a death wish. I wish individual would mentality. That saved my life. Because they laughed at it. They was like, man, you know what? You are so stupid, we're not going to even mess with you. Because you obviously don't know where you're at. I'm like, yeah, I know where I'm at. Do you know where you at? And now, The thing that saved my life is I honestly didn't know where I was at. Because if I did, you think I'd been walking around there with my chest stuck out like I was running stuff? All I had was a radio and a set of keys. They would have made me eat them keys. Before I could hit my panic button, I would have been stabbed at least 30 times. Because the previous guard before me, that's what happened to him. Why? There was trained killers in there. They sense fear. I didn't have none. So they just say, go about your way. Same thing spiritually. So you live in this life on this earth and you want to live forever. So you're trying to figure out a way to stay young, stay beautiful, all of this stuff. Man, if I'm not here tomorrow doing the show, y'all know where I'm at. Homie, I went to glory. Now, I'm not saying that like I got, you know, like some people take it the wrong way. Because, again, they don't understand God's plan. Because he's incomprehensible. His plan is incomprehensible. God says, I do not want you to love your life more than death. Oh, where did I hear that from before? Revelations, how you get off the planet alive. Revelations, what is it? It says that this is how we overcome death. Because Lucifer is death. How do you overcome him, brother? How do you overcome him, sister? We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And the third piece of the puzzle, the smoking gun, the one that nobody talks about, and they did not love their lives. You see, brothers and sisters, that's the true divine plan of God, for you not to love your life. Now, I know that's a tough pill to swallow. First time I saw this message, I said, hell no. I ain't teaching it. I ain't talking about it. I ain't sharing it. That was 20 years ago. Guess what I'm doing today? Sharing the message. You ever heard of Jonah? God say, hey, homie, you going to Nineveh? Jonah's like, I don't think so. I was like, really? Jonah's like, no, man, I ain't going to Nineveh. Okay. Hang out with this whale for a while. See if you might have a change of heart. God got a plan, brothers and sisters. Now, the next thing, next part of God's plan is that, contrary to popular belief, all who come into the knowledge, all of God's children will be saved. Now, there are some people on the planet that are not God's children. They're going to their father's house, and they're going to hang out with him. Some of people call that hell. Now, Yahushua, now again, John 10, and I'm trying to close, but I'm trying to give you guys as many nuggets as I can, because again, I know the book is expensive, $499. That's why I want you guys to partner with me, so that way you can get it, again, all 10 books at a little less, save you a couple of $1,000 off the cost of all 10 books. And so John 10 says that, okay, I'm the good shepherd, I got my sheep. Then John 10:10 says, after I get my sheep, I'm coming back. And I'm going to take the other shepherd's sheep. Ephesians 2 says that, hey, I'm making the two seeds that are far off one new seed. His divine plan is that none should perish and that all should come into the knowledge. That's his divine plan. But we got some that, again, they are OPs. So tomorrow we'll probably talk about organic portals, and I'm going to break down the soulless entities. Because you may be praying for, you may be married to one. And you may be, you know, you ever try to save somebody that don't want to be saved? Oh, man, I'm the captain of them doing that. I want to save everybody. And the person you're trying to help, they biting your hand. They growling at you. You ever seen a dog, you know, you're trying to rescue the dog, and he's, and he's snapping at you and stuff. And say, man, I'm trying to help you. Yeah, you might want to just let that dog go ahead and go and get, run down the street and get ran over. Sad, but there, again, there's some vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. But for the vessels of honor, for the children of God, none should perish, none. Everybody, again, will go through the firstborn stages. He's the firstborn of many brethren. He's the firstborn of every creation, of all creation. He's the firstborn of the dead. He's the firstborn of every creature. That's his plan. His plan is that none should perish and that all should come into the knowledge. But the only way to implement that plan, Revelations chapter 12, verse 11. That is the only way to implement the plan of God, the divine plan. There's a lot of plans out there, but a lot of people say a lot of stuff. A lot of people gonna listen to this message and say, "Brother Will, you was with me, man. I was with you, brother. Everything was sounding great, man. Okay, we overcome him, you know, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony." But when you say they did not love their lives more than death, yeah, you lost me there, brother, because I was with you. I was with you, but you don't understand, man. I just got a new job, got a new car, got a new house. Life is great. Okay, friendship with this world makes you an enemy of God. That's the plan. The plan is you love God more than you love the world. That's a tough plan. How many people you know preaching that plan? My brothers and my sisters, again, tomorrow night we'll be breaking down. Probably we'll jump into the OPs and break that down for you so we can understand why people ain't signing up for this plan. Because, they got a different father than what you got. And so you got to know how to identify these OPs and how to identify these soulless entities, these sociopaths who run this country. They know who their father is. They're promoting his agenda, and they are proud because they're trying to stay alive in the flesh body. We trying to leave this flesh because it's decaying, it's dying. But they got a different agenda than what you got. So join me tomorrow, brothers and sisters, as we continue going through and talking about information that's inside of these 10 books. Again, anybody who wants to get a copy of all 10 of these books that I'm releasing here in 2015, email me, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. That email address, again, is masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. My brothers and my sisters, I want to thank everyone for joining me on tonight's show. I do apologize for going over just a little bit. I was trying to keep it to hour, but you don't know how that goes. So I want to thank everyone so much for joining me on tonight's show. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the Son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you into all truth. And as always, my brother, as always, my sister, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
This is Brian Cornby.
Bijola, Jehovah, let me mix it in your soda. I'm flying in my spaceship. Can you hear me? Zoom it over. I'm here to show these people how to fight in it. I'm a soldier in life. You better listen to Jehovah, cause he'll mold ya. I'm waking up these masses, better smell it like exposure. Society up and down, it's like a town of roller coasters. Bijola got his upload, download it to your folders. The purpose is to share it, don't care about no vultures. You know I'm from that Texas, where we ride around on pokers. My flow is so infectious, and I'm drowning out these jokers. No need to wear a necklace, I'm shining with my mind out. You better come and find out. Bijola in your soda with Jehovah.